Okay, I want to do two things. I want to give a slight introduction to what the Musar V'Ahat are supposed to be. And then I want to get to the Maisa. I don't want to just spend time, you know, spend all day on introduction. I played that trick yesterday in Shir. You know, I didn't give Shir at all. I just battled about what we're going to do in Shir. But I was going to do that. But I realized that it's according to the system that I give every other week Musar V'Ahat. I only have two Musar V'Ahat till Rosh Hashanah. And it's more than, that's not really enough time. So I can't spend the whole, if I spend the whole Musar V'Ahat talking about what a Musar V'Ahat is, that would be, then I would be left with only one Musar V'Ahat for Hashanah. That's not enough. So we have to go ahead and do two things today. So first we have to discuss a little bit to explain what a Musar V'Ahat is, and then hopefully we'll have enough time to have a quick Musar V'Ahat about a little bit about Evel. Okay, even though Mendy's going to ask me, it's not Evel yet. I know. Okay, because I told the practice, they don't have time. If they would change the system. Okay. Anyway, I want to explain what the Musar V'Ahat is. The Yeshiva's Musar setup. Yeshiva, I assume you know, is considers itself a Musar Yeshiva, which means a Musar is a major component of the Yeshiva. If you're not interested in Musar, you're sort of in the wrong Yeshiva, because it's like silly, you know. The Yeshiva puts a major emphasis on Musar, like, you know, if that's not what you want, then don't come here, you know. So the Yeshiva's Musar program is made up of three parts. There's the Shmuzim, the Musar Seder, and the Musar Vadim. So obviously, every part overlaps the other, and I'm not, but in Lumdus at least, those are three different ways, there are three different points that they're attacking. Now, it's in reality, it's not really true. Everyone has all three, but well, basically, to a certain extent. What does that mean? So I want to give a very simple mashal. I'll try to explain it. Okay, yeah, come in. Okay, and someone else behind you? Oh, Gavadik. Okay, so we're giving a very quick introduction to explain what the Musar V'Ahat is, and then we're going to have a Musar V'Ahat, hopefully. So it's like this. A guy goes ahead and smokes, right? She doesn't. It's not Nogea. We picked a topic that's not Nogea to anyone here. Right? Okay. That's my fault. I'm sorry. So a guy smokes. Now, someone tells him, you know, you gotta quit smoking. It's not healthy. He doesn't listen. So what's the problem? So the first problem could be, I mean, if obviously it's hard to quit smoking. Yeah, but still, so on, it's hard, but it's so important. You know, his wife screams at him. It's so important. So what's the first step? The first step is, it could be that why he's not really motivated is because he doesn't really think it's so important. And okay, you know. Yes, and you know, the doctors say it's not healthy. Okay. Do you think the doctors are telling the truth? Doctors can exaggerate a little bit. Okay, you know, maybe. Maybe they're right. You know, doctors don't know everything. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're wrong. My grandfather lived 120 and he smoked like a, you know, whatever, you know. I know plenty of people that smoke and they live long. And, you know, they probably exaggerate a little bit and, you know, doctors make mistakes and, yeah, this is what they say today and next year they're going to come up. This year, today they say coffee's healthy and tomorrow they'll say coffee's not healthy. And the same thing with eggs. Yeah, last year it was healthy and today it's not healthy. I don't know if they really know what they're talking about, right? So if the guy's not convinced, 100%, he said, well, they're probably right, but I'm not. If he's only they're probably right, of course he's not motivated. You can't be motivated to really, really push yourself to do something that's difficult, and quitting smoking is difficult, unless you're 100% committed. So the first step in Musar is, you gotta get intellectually, you gotta get the guy 100%. many, many things we think we believe, but we don't really believe. Probably doing mitzvahs is nice. Probably, you know, a person who does mitzvahs is probably better off. But, you know, do you 100% believe that? Right? There are degrees. Believing something 100% is a very, very strong statement. People do not know, some people don't even know what 100% means. It's just like in learning, there's such a thing. I didn't get to it when I was doing my there's such a thing as clarity. Many people don't know what clarity. They have a vague idea. They think they know, right? So knowing something 100% with clarity, focus, right? Clearly, you not got it clear, is not so easy. So the first yisayid of Musar, this is a very big yisayid of Sabok of Musar, is that one of the reasons why people, why do people do averus, right? Is one reason is because they're not really motivated. They're not, because they don't really, deep down, they do not believe 100%. If you believe hefsin mitzvah, schar mitzvah keneged hasreira, the schar avera keneged hasreira, right? That's the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. I probably said it wrong, but it's basically, right? In other words, if you believe that when you do an avera, you're getting a certain amount of pleasure, but the punishment and the losing that you're going to lose for that avera is 100,000 times worse than the benefit, then you wouldn't do it. But deep down, you don't really believe. Yeah, maybe, probably, yeah, sure. Right. So the first step of Musar is you got to get strong, sharp, intellectual beliefs. Okay. To a certain extent, that's the Musar Shmuzim. The Musar Shmuzim is to work on your intellectual knowledge. To some extent, also, the Musar Chaburas with the Rebbeim is also that, too. But, you know, to a large extent, I assume. Okay, that's the first step. Now, there's a second step, is that a person, you know, I believe it 100%, but I'm still not motivated. So what do you do to a guy? He still can't get himself motivated to quit smoking. So you take him to a hospital, and you show him cancer patients, and you show him a video, right, of a guy suffering from cancer, right? What does that do? Because that's what the Bari Musar say, is that there's a disconnect in many, many people between their intellect and the emotion, right? The famous Musar line is that the distance between the brain and the heart is the furthest distance in the world, right? It's from the further than two side, you know, from further from America to China, whatever. The furthest place in the world, the two farthest place in the world is from your brain to your heart. That's a famous Musar Piskat. So I can know something 100% and still not feel it. Now, you can't feel it if you don't know it 100%. So the first step is you got to know it 100%. But the second step is even after you know it 100%, you got to work on feelings. So that's what we call, what's that called? Musar Bispaitis, where you use examples, stories, mishalim. Sometimes you use a tune. There are many different ways of getting, you know, or just thinking about it, you know, visualizing. There are different ways, but it's trying to make yourself not just intellectual, but even emotional. But here's where I want to get to my Musar about it. Here you got a guy. Says, yeah, I believe 100% that smoking's not healthy. I went to the hospital. I saw the guys, you know, but I'm still smoking. Why are you smoking? She says, what can I do? I was an idiot for starting, I admit, but I'm addicted. I tried to quit. It didn't go, and I'm stuck. Right? There was a guy years ago. There was a guy here in the yeshiva who was whatever. I don't recommend it necessarily. But he was involved in helping people who were drug addicts. The guys do not know who this was. This was many years ago. He was a guy. He used to, you know, he had a knack for helping addicts, and he had a guy, he used to bring him into yeshiva all the time. He was a heavy drug user. You know, it was really great. He used to come out to yeshiva every day, every so often, every day with Chavrusa. So he told me that he asked this guy, like, you know, he was trying to get him inspired, where do you envision yourself in a year from now? And his friend, the drug addict, said, dead. You know? That was it. So if you think you're going to die from your drug addiction, then why aren't you stopping? I can't. So there has to be, right, there's a certain, you have to go ahead and teach the person how to stop. Right? You can be the most motivated in your world, but if you think I can't do it, you don't know how to do it, you're not going to do it. Right? Guy thinks he's going to die from his job. I think that guy's pretty motivated. You know, that's what he said. I believe I'm going to be dead in a year from now. But, you know, and I don't know what happened to that guy, so I can't tell you the end of the story. I did not keep touch with him. But the Maisa, there, you need to know how. So the Musar Vadim, now it's maybe obviously not as dramatic as this, but to a certain extent, it's to give guys practical suggestions on how to do things, meaning that there's a little bit, you know, a different rebbeim, a different experience of life, and it's just, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, guys went ahead, and the same nisyonos that you people have, you're not the first person to have these nisyonos. Obviously, the rebbeim themselves had them, and they also dealt with many guys before you who had the same nisyonos. So sometimes there's an eitzah. Sometimes there isn't. Sometimes there's no answer. A guy asks you, what can I do? You just have to do it. I don't know. I don't have any suggestion. Just do it. But sometimes, very often, there is a system. The guy wants to quit smoking. So there's, you know, the guy says, I tried, it didn't go. So they tell him, well, there are all kinds of tricks. There's, right, nicotine, right, the gum, right? And there's a patch. And there's, I don't know, all the different things they got. There's a whole different systems of things that they invented. And there's books, how to quit smoking, and programs. There's already in the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh, which was written over 200 years ago. He has a system how to quit, to get off ethanol smoking, how to quit drinking, you know, how to get yourself a person who's addicted to drinking. He basically gives him a trick that every day you drink the same amount of liquor, but you pour in a drop more of water so that psychologically you think you're drinking the same, you get the same enjoyment, but it's watered down with one more drop. But eventually, one more drop and one more drop adds up. He says, after a year, you're drinking a very watered-down solution, and then then it's no big deal to stop. So there are tricks. Anyway, Musar Vadim are practical advice. How does one, you know, that's basic. Now, a lot of it, I don't say it's only just Musar Vadim, also try and get you inspired, and Musar Vadim, but the goal. You know, I'm not saying that's the only thing, because everything obviously has a little bit of everything. But those are, I think, the goals. The goal of the Musar Shmuz is to give you knowledge, information, facts. It's something that you would not have known. I don't know. Today's Shmuz was not fully a perfect Shmuz in that regard, because it was a little bit trying to be a little emotional at the same time. But it was trying to give information, that the fact that a person, even though he's learning, he cannot say, I'm not responsible, right? That's an intellectual piece of information. The fact that the guy should know that they're in charge is a piece of information. A person might not know. What do you mean I'm in charge? What do you mean I'm in charge? I wasn't in charge in high school. Why should I be in charge now? So it's conveying a Musar Shmuz. A large part of a Musar Shmuz is to convey a piece of information. And the belief is that information, knowledge is power, and even information that seems to be irrelevant, it's like making a jigsaw puzzle. If you, even a piece that seems unimportant, but that piece helps for the next piece. So knowledge, even if the knowledge itself is a schmooze that doesn't seem to be relevant, it's a full picture. The human being is one giant jigsaw puzzle. The world is a giant jigsaw puzzle. And you gotta have all the pieces. You have to have the full picture. So a schmooze is to fill in all the pieces that people are missing. That's the primary. Indirectly, listen, if you can motivate and inspire people in a schmooze, why not? You're allowed to do that. It's not awesome. The Musar Seder is to a certain extent, especially the Musar B'Spidus part. Maybe the rebellion part is, you know, I don't know what that is. But the Musar B'Spidus part is to get the emotion, supposedly. Try on your own to get yourself emotional, to visualize whatever, and the tune. And the Musar Vadim is also to inspire, obviously, but to a certain extent, it's to give you practical suggestions. I just want to give, because, you know, the first Musar Vad everyone comes to because it's the beginning of the year. So I want to give people encouragement, please, in the past years, not just about my Musar Vad, don't think anyone's Musar Vadim, experience has shown that guys who have come to Musar Vadim have gained a great deal. So now that doesn't mean that every Musar Vad is going to be good. First of all, no Rebbe can always hit a home run every time. So sometimes you get up and you strike out. You say a bad Vad. Second of all, even if it's a good Vad, doesn't mean it's going to be good for you. Let's say I'm going to give a Vad. I think there's a very big problem that certain people are too bashful. Right? I know someone like that, you know, a little bit bashfulness. And it's a problem that because you're too bashful, therefore you don't accomplish at your potential. Right? So I'm going to give a Vad on that problem. Now, it could be, you know, I might have had that problem when I was young. I suspect Rabbi Nachman never had that problem. So Rabbi Nachman's sitting here in the Vad. That's not my, waste of time. Hey, talk about that. I don't really know. I'm just giving an example. Right? But, you know, there could be a guy sitting in the group that his problem is not being too bashful. His problem is that he has too much guts. You know, there are guys like that too. That they should be a little bit more bashful. Right? There are guys that they're too bashful. Right? The guy that will never daven for the Amid. There's a guy in the Beis Medrash, Bob Botham, that he will not get an Aliyah. And I can't understand that. I offered him as a Gabbai many times Aliyah. He's afraid to get, you know, he's too bashful to get up to the Sefer Torah, make an Aliyah, bracha. You know, the guy knows Hebrew, he davens every day, he's a frum person. He's an old, you know, but so people, that's a problem. So that's interfering with his ability of serving Hashem. He cannot be, you can't be a Rebbe if you can't get up in front of a classroom and speak. You want to be a public speaker, you want to be a leader. Can't be a leader if you're bashful. So bashfulness is a big problem, but person who's too gutsy is also a problem. We've definitely had guys in the yeshiva who were too gutsy, you know, that we needed to learn. The guys that do all these crazy, dangerous things and whatever, and they there's certain people, they're very super chutzpahdik, whatever. It's not the problem. It's bashfulness, you know. So not every Musar Vad is good for every person. And there could be certain Musar Vadim that are a total waste of time for you. But still, I really think that if you come consistently the whole year, there will be some that will talk on some topics that will hopefully be very, very relevant to you. And it doesn't have to be every time. And it's very beneficial. You hear how other people dealt with maybe your problem. You know, eventually, hopefully, you're not such a weird person. You know, hopefully there'll be something that relevant to you. Okay. I'm getting this to a springboard to the real Musar Vad on hand of Rosh Hashanah and Elul. There's a gevaldik story in the Sefer, which Mamish connects the two topics. This is a Sefer which we were reading last year, Sifasim Rav Shlomo Hoffman. Rav Shlomo Hoffman was a very, very chashuv person who, when he was young, he was shemesh by a few gedolim, especially Rav Isaac Sher. Rav Isaac Sher was the son-in-law of the after Zalbaka. He survived the war. So he says here that when he was 23 years old, right? 23-year-old is already, and he's been learning in yeshivas, and this took place in the 1940s when, you know, I assume in 23 in 1940 is like a 65-year-old guy today, you know, right? You know, as far as learning, they learn more. You know, I think so, a little bit more mature, whatever. Okay. So he said it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Isaac asked him, did you make any kabbalas for the next year? You know, you have to make kabbalas. So Rav Shlomo said, he told him, yes. And I even wrote them down, because it's important to write them down, because if you make them, you just forget them. He wrote them down. So Rabbi Isaac asked him, can I see what you wrote? So he was very proud of his kabbalas. You know, he wrote down, very nice, written. So he says, yeah, sure, Rashiva can look at my kabbalas. So he gave it to him. Okay. So then Rav Isaac asked him, did you test them? In other words, Edel is a large time. You make a kabbalah, you test it on Edel to see how you do with these kabbalas. So did you test these kabbalas to see, practically speaking, what, how you will react? So Rav Shlomo said, no, I just started now. You don't expect me to start doing tshuva and edel. I'm starting now. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. I'm making my kabbalas, Erev Rosh Hashanah. So I decided, spent the whole day Erev Rosh Hashanah thinking about what I should do better. So obviously I never tested. I decided this year I'm going to work, and I'm serious, and I wrote it down. So Rav Isaac took the sheet and ripped it up in his face. That's great. Yeah, I like that. Basically, he said he was 23 years old. He said, you don't know what you're doing. He ripped them up. You know? Anyway, which brings us to the point that there's a system. There's a system to Elul. There's a system to Rosh Hashanah. You don't just come in and make kabbalas. You make kabbalas, it's almost dangerous. You set yourself up. We were talking a great deal about this, and one of the greatest problems in the yeshiva is guys getting down on themselves. And kabbalas, when you know, on one hand, it's great. My first, here we go again. I don't know what pocket is. My first shmooze in yeshiva, this is a true story. I came to yeshiva during Edel, and I was very inspired. And yeshiva's giving a shmooze on Edel. And I thought, wow, here I'm going to hear shmooze, my first shmooze on Edel. And what did yeshiva say? I remember, Adayel, don't get too excited about Edel. It's dangerous. You might get depressed. I was so angry. Anyway, but there's some point to that if you don't know what you're doing, it's dangerous. If you know what you're doing, it's fine. But if you don't know what you're doing, right? Okay, anyway, so let's move to the topic a little bit. Basically, I want to start with a story. It's a true story also. There was about a certain fellow. This goes back many, many, many years ago. But it goes back, believe it or not, I don't know in a way how old I am. But it was, I was actually a Rebbe in such a time. There was a time before there was such a thing called internet. And the big problem in those days, there's no internet, so what's the big A Sahara? So the big problem was the thing called television. Before the internet, they had television. So there was a Bacher who decided, it happened to be, it was a high school Bacher, an older high school Bacher, who decided he wanted to stop watching television. And he said, in Yom Kippur, he worked and he makes a real solid kabbalah. He was so proud of himself. He made a solid kabbalah. He's going to stop watching television. Now, how do I know about this? Because Motzei Yom Kippur, he watched television. Bored. can't learn. He's exhausted. He had a headache. You know. He's anyway. He's not at home. You know. It's not to lend itself to learning. He's home. You know. Kippur ended at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever it is. He's not going to sleep till 11:30, 12 o'clock. He's nothing to do. He's bored. He has a headache. He can't learn. So he watched television. He was so distraught. I made this amazing kabbalah. I spent hours in Yom Kippur, and I was so proud of myself. And then I didn't even last one day. So the problem, what that means is as follows, and it underlines a problem, is that it's not only that it's a problem not to succeed. What that does is it makes what happens next year when this bacher is going to come ahead and want to make a kabbalah come Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So what's going to happen? So the probability is he's not even going to try, because he says last year, now it happens to be not so, because the truth is, I have to tell the honest story, is that the guy, there is better systems. Probably the guy did not use the right system. And he ended up, at the end of the year, he was not watching television anymore. So by the next year, he could make a good kabbal. But assuming we leave out that part of the story, that if a guy made a kabbal in Yom Kippur, then he's not going to watch television. And Motzoi Yom Kippur, he blew it. And he knows that. So when he comes next year, that's it. Right? I'm not making another kabbalah. I got four Kaddish Baruch Hu. Right? That's definitely the attitude. So I think to a large extent, that is the problem that a lot of us have, is that we sometimes think it's a certain amount of yish, where what, so of course I would love to quit smoking, but I can't. Of course I would love to make a good tshuva. But who am I going to fool? You can't fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to make believe I'm doing tshuva. I know I'm going to go. I'm not doing tshuva. Come on. I did this last year, and the year before, and the year before. And you guys aren't so old, so you can't keep on going back the year before. But I'm a little older than you, right? So the question is, how do you get yourself in Elo and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to do tshuva when you're a little bit, when you tried already once and it didn't go? Right? That's the question. And therefore you're a little bit discouraged. You don't think it's going to go. So you don't really have, you're not really motivated, because you don't really deep down believe you can do it. So there are two answers, right? Anyone know the two answers?
Think small.
So two answers. One answer is that you probably, if you didn't succeed, it's probably you went around the wrong way. And there is a way of succeeding, right? Like this guy with the television. The guy with the television, he did not succeed. He broke it already on Yom Kippur night. The probability is he went about it the wrong way. He made the wrong kabbalah. There is a system, and the biggest raya is that he did succeed at the end of the year in not watching television, but he went about the wrong way. But the second answer is what? The second answer is that even if you go ahead and you break your kabbalahs on Motzoi Yom Kippur, the fact that, if you're assuming you were sincere and honest, the fact that you made an honest kabbalah has a tremendous, tremendous value. So it's almost irrelevant, the fact that you broke it. Now, obviously it's not irrelevant, but it's almost irrelevant. We have many, many proofs to that. What are the proofs? Besides that, it says that in the Svarim. It says in the Chinuch, why did Hashem give us Yom Kippur? Because, you look at the Chinuch, because if we didn't have Yom Kippur, our averis would accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. And once you get to a certain number of averis, it's not healthy. A million averis. So he gives us Yom Kippur so you can knock off, and then you can start from the beginning again. Right? It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, that's not a good, it's a medrash. I was telling someone today that says that Sukkot is called Yom Rishon. Because it's the first day you start doing Averis. Why? Because all the Averis are knocked out on Yom Kippur, and then you start again on Sukkot. The reason why you only start on Sukkot and not that it's still from Yom Kippur to Sukkot, people are too busy to do Averis. So Yom Kippur, you get all the Averis knocked off. Sukkot, Yom Kippur, you're busy with your Lulav and Ezra building a Sukkot. There's no time to do Averis. You start, and then you start. What do you mean? If I'm starting Averis Yom Kippur, and I really would have started Averis earlier. I'm sorry, I started on Sukkot. So then that means my tshuva wasn't a good tshuva. Right? So it's not necessarily true, because pshat is that the Yetzirah never gives up. Right? The fact that you beat the Yetzirah doesn't mean it doesn't come back tomorrow again. Right? You knock him down, he's a guy, you can knock him out, then he'll still be back tomorrow and, you know, ready to start over again, a rematch. So you can win, and then tomorrow you can lose. The fact that you lose tomorrow doesn't mean you didn't win today. So it's not really such a raya. But there's a much easier answer and a few more answers. I want to go over these answers because the answers inspire us not to give up, and they also give us a direction how to do tshuva. He says the answer here. He says it here. We did this last year. I heard it, but it's not just him, but many people say this. He says this out. This is on page 67. Pliny is leaving Yerushalayim, and he's going to Bnei Brak. Right? And he asks someone, how far is it to Bnei Brak? He says 60 minutes. He's driving 60 minutes, 70 minutes. Doesn't see anything about Bnei Brak. In fact, this doesn't look like Bnei Brak. It looks more like he's getting, obviously, he's going the wrong direction, right? He got on the highway the wrong way, right? So he's going 60 minutes, an hour, 100 minutes, and two hours. Finally, he pulls up at a gas station, and he asks the guy, where did I get the Bnei Brak? And the guy down Bnei Brak, buddy, you're going north. You're supposed to be going south, right? Whatever, right direction. So how do I get to Bnei Brak? Well, you gotta U-turn, eh? And the guy gets flip-punctured. Finally, 5 hours later, he makes it back onto the highway, going the right direction. He says, at that point, he has a halachic din of about tshuva. He might be 5 hours away from Bnei Brak, but he's on the highway and he's going. He can call home and say, "Why? Don't worry, I'll be home. I'll be a little delayed, but I'll be home." Right? Call his mind that you're on the highway the wrong way. You're not about tshuva. Says the moment you get on the highway the right way, you're already considered. There's a lump in the Rashiva used to call it in the ballpark Svara. Right? Remember anything bad, but remember that's right. The ballpark. Ballpark means that you're part of the team. Shiva used to say, the mashal he used to give, this mashal sounds better. He's clearer. The mashal he used to give the mashal that if you're part of a baseball team and the team wins the World Series, you're allowed to say, we're the champs. Even if you're the bottom person on the team and you only got up to play once a game in the whole time, even if they never put you up to play because you were just the guy who watches television in Manhattan says, we're the greatest, and he's nuts. But if you're a part of the team, you're part of the team. Your team won. You're not the pitcher, you're not the hitter, but you're on the team. So that's what he used to call the ballpark. You're part of the team. There's a team called Bali Tshuva. You don't have to be the biggest star of the team. If you're the bottom of the team, you're also there's a geder, halachic geder of what puts you to define as about tshuva. As long as you make the definition, you pass 65 is passing. 65 is pretty bad, right? 65 is almost getting half wrong. But you pass. You can get your doctorate. You can become a doctor with a 65. And you pass. And no one will know the difference, right? You pass. I don't want to say it's not better to get a 90, but in a certain sense, it's not so much, not such a big difference. So in a certain sense, on some level, once you're halachically defined as a Baal Tshuva, the fact that you're a crummy Baal Tshuva, okay, but you're still a Baal Tshuva, right? So the guy is defined as a Baal Tshuva once he's on the highway. You don't have to be, this is what all the Bible say, Kabbalah awa osid does not mean that you have to be mekabel, that you have to have, that I'm going to stop immediately. It means I'm going to stop eventually. Right? I feel bad about the past, and I have a 5-year program. I have a 15-year program. Right? I signed up in yeshiva, and I'm going to be in yeshiva Be'ezras Hashem for 14 years. And Be'ezras Hashem, it takes time. You know, okay, I have certain problems, and I'm sure that this year I'm going to improve my learning skills, and next year I'm going to improve my davening, and the next year I'm going to improve my hasmada. And as time goes on, I'll get better and better. You think one of the rabbeim, they didn't, when they were 18, they didn't have certain problems. Some of them, yes, some of them not, right? I told men today, there's a rabbi in one of the branches who's one of the, not just a rabbi, one of the heads of the branches. I take credit for him because I threw him out of yeshiva, right? You know, threw him out. Gave him, that's why he became who he became, because he got thrown out. He learned his lesson. So, you know, didn't start out as a, he's such a great guy, you know? We didn't. There's very few guys I threw out of the yeshiva. Very few. Count them on less than 5. But he was one of my success stories, right? Anyway, so you know the people. But so tshuva doesn't mean that you're gonna. There's a process. It's almost naive to think that you're going to overnight. You're going to go ahead like this guy, this bacher, who thought. You know, obviously he was deeply addicted to television or whatever it is. To think that he's going to start without any system, right? He didn't create any system. He didn't create any substitution. He didn't have a patch. He didn't have a, I'll get myself a chavrus, I won't be home. You know, whatever, there are systems. Just without any system, he was watching, till now he was watching 4 hours a night television. Okay, I'm going to stop watching television. It's not a system. That's not realistic. But if you would go ahead and say, okay, listen, I'm starting 4 hours, I'm going to go down to 3 hours, I'm going to go down to 2 hours, and you know what? In 5 years from now, I'm going to stop television. Or I don't have it worked out. Right? That's a real tshuva ready. So tshuva does not necessarily mean, now, you're not allowed to say that I'm mekabel, I'm going to continue doing averis. You're not allowed to do that. But what you're allowed to do, no time. In other words, what you're supposed to do is like this. Let's take this example. The guy's doing an Aveira, assuming television's an Aveira. We don't go into that, but that's a different topic. The guy's going, watching certain things he shouldn't be watching, right? And he wants to stop. So he wants to do tshuva. So what you're supposed to do, the system is, you're supposed to do like this. I'm going to try and stop totally, because you're not allowed to say hinini muchen mezumen to continue doing averis. You know that you can't do. I'm going to try and stop. You never know. Sometimes you try. Sometimes something is much easier than you thought, because you know you just. Sometimes it's just your imagination that something's hard, and it's really not hard. And if you try and stop, you might discover that it's really much easier than you thought. So I'm going to try and stop. But realistically, I know. So first, what he said is you should use Edel to experiment. So then you should know if it's a realistic Kabbalah. That's what he said, really. And we're still in Edel, so you should experiment. But assuming you didn't experiment in adult, so you have no way of knowing whether that's a realistic Kabbalah. So you say like this, I'm going to try and stop cold turkey 100%. But if it doesn't work, which is a possibility, I'm not going to just quit. I have a second line of defense. Right? What's my second line of defense? Is I have a trick that I'm going to definitely stop. Now a day, I'm going to stop a certain type of show. I'm going to make a chavrusa that I'm not going to be in the house from 9 to 10, so I won't have a yetzahara then. Right? I have a certain, some kind of trick that at least will help me to minimize it. And therefore, I'm going to be going in the right direction. I'm on the highway. And then, once I'm on that highway, next year, I'm going to go further. Maybe not even next year. Maybe in 2 months from now, I'll go further. I can't, no, I'm not such a, I can't plan it out exactly. But, you know, you can plan the first step and then, but I'm hopeful that eventually, I don't know whether eventually will be in a year, 5 years, 10 years, I don't know. I can't plan it because I'm not such a big picker. But I'm getting on the highway. I don't know how long of a route it's going to take. But eventually, I'm planning on getting to, you know, if I can go there express, I'll go express. But if express doesn't work, I'm still going to get to the end because I'm going to make slow. I'm going to work a system. And I'm starting the system now with my second line of defense, right? So I'm making a double Kabbalah. I'm making a Kabbalah. And every Kabbalah, that's what the people of the Gedolim recommend. And in every Kabbalah, there should be, in a certain sense, like a double Kabbalah. There is what you really want to accomplish, and I'm going to try. And then a fallback, that if I don't succeed, what I basically positive, and he says the way you're really positive is you test it in an edel, that I will succeed. So that at least I'm starting in the right direction. So I'm going to get on the highway. Once I'm on the highway, I'm what the Reshiva called the Geder Osa Tshuva. Now, is it the Geder Osa Tshuva? You get a whole tshuva. That's what I wanted to get into, that there's such a thing as partial tshuva. But you definitely get some type of tshuva. So some type of tshuva is very impressive. If you owe $1 million and someone lets you off 50%, it's a nice amount of money. We owe more than $1 million in Averis, right? A few hundred million. So if we get off 50%, maybe 75%, even 10%, that's pretty impressive. So the goal is you try for the whole thing, but you have to have a system, a second system. And the second system takes a lot of work. And that is why he got so upset with him and it's ripped up his Kabbalahs. Because you need to think. You can't just come along. You have an addiction. You have a problem. If it stops right away, great. But if it doesn't stop, it means it's because you have a very, very strong problem, whether it's because of years of doing this Averis, or you have a certain weakness, or your personality, or whatever it is. There's a reason why. Why is this Bacher, he made such a strong Kabbalah, but he ended up watching Yom Kippur night? It's because it was, in reality, it was very hard for him. So he should have a second system. He should have been plotting a figure out a system. Now that's what our next Masorvada, if we ever get to, is hopefully to help the guys have systems. But you have to make a second system where I have a plan that even if I can't stop 100%, I got a plan. And that takes thinking. And then what he says, it takes trying. You have to experiment, because you might think that this for sure will work. You think, okay, but I can definitely skip an hour. Maybe that won't work either. I have a system that I'm going to make a chavrusa with this and this guy, and I won't be home. Yeah, but then you'll try, you learn with him, and then you'll see that you don't like learning with him. It doesn't work. Not every plan works. So you have to experiment. Edel, the purpose of Edel for Rosh Hashanah, and that's what he was telling him, is if you can, if you can't, I'm not saying it's hopeless, but the chatchila, what you're supposed to do, according to the Bali Musar, Edo is a practice ground. When you make your second prong, if you're going to use the first system, then I'm just mekabel, quitting cold turkey, you don't need Edo. You mekabel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur when you're really inspired, and great. But since you have to have a two-prong attack, then in case it doesn't work, I have a system which will guarantee that I'll be moving in the right direction, and eventually I'll get there. So you got to have a system that will be guaranteed to work. How do you know that what you're going to be mekabel is going to work? You never tried it, so you don't know. Just like this Bacher thought he could stop, and he was completely in touch with himself. Right? He thought he could stop forever, and he couldn't even stop for an hour. Right? So some people are totally in touch with ourselves too. So you have to experiment, try. Okay, anyway, that's all.